Good morning. Well, I feel like family. That's great. I don't want to be a guest. It's wonderful to be here with you this morning. And we've been greetings from our senior pastors, Pastors Joel and Sharon Chalaya from Centerpoint Church. They send their love this morning and have released us to come and speak with you. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you this morning that your Holy Spirit would come now and just rest and flow across this congregation. I thank you that your Holy Spirit has been here in worship as we've brought our hearts before you and you've ministered to our hearts. Lord, I pray that your peace would fall upon every heart, that every stress, that every concern, that every anxiety would just drift away in the presence of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Let's just take this moment while you're sitting here. Just allow his peace to minister to your heart. Thank you, Lord, that you take away every anxiety and every stress as we enjoy the peace of your presence and the power of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, it's wonderful to worship you. You know, we love coming here. Not only because we have some amazing friends here, but also because we just love to worship here. Wasn't worship sensational this morning? I want to just compliment somebody who doesn't normally get complimented. I want to compliment the sound guys this morning. You could hear every note that every instrument played. Let's give them a round of applause. That's a rare thing in a church. It was absolutely beautiful. Even Rajiv's five-string guitar here was, you know, playing beautifully. You could hear every note. So thank you. The worship was just so wonderful this morning. All right, we've, as a church, have been in a theme called Walking as Jesus Walked. So I'm going to speak into that this morning on one particular aspect, one aspect of Jesus' ministry. That if we're going to walk as Jesus walked, we're going to have to understand that aspect. Amen? So as I'm sure you'd agree that Jesus' ministry really stood out, right? From every other ministry that would have been around at the time, Jesus' ministry really, really stood out. There were people healed. There were people raised from the dead. There were people delivered. What is that? What was it that made the difference? What stood out? What was the X factor behind Jesus' ministry? Where did the power come from? You know, there often seems to be a deficit or a gap between our lives as Christians and what we see as Jesus's life through Scripture, where there was incredible power and anointing. Amen? There often seems to be a gap. Well, this morning I'm going to speak into that gap, and this morning I'm going to speak about the anointing. You see, the anointing for breakthrough, or for the anointing for power, if we're going to walk as Jesus walked, we need to understand where that comes from, right? We need to understand how that is developed in our life and how Jesus ministered out of that to be able to see the miraculous, incredible things take place. If we're going to really walk as Jesus walked, we need to know that. Amen? Well, Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says this: God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see, there was a tangible atmosphere of the anointing of God upon Jesus' life. And if we look at that scripture carefully, it says, God anointed. Now, that word anointed is the word chirio, which says, comes from the idea of to make contact with, or to smear, or to rub with oil. So this morning I've chosen the big one. Amen? Where does the power come from? You know, you hear people say that, you know, the anointing is upon that person. And you might, you know, say, well, the anointing was upon the worship this morning, which it was. And it's referencing the power of the supernatural. Well, let's start here. Jesus started his ministry with this statement. This is Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. See, the anointing is a spiritual force that accompanies the Holy Spirit. The anointing is not the Holy Spirit. The anointing is called it, and the Holy Spirit is called he. We see in 1 John 2:27, it says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone would teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So there is a vast difference between the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, and the anointing, which is referred to in this scripture as it. See, the Holy Spirit is never referred to as it. The Holy Spirit is always referred to as him. And this is the promise from Jesus to his disciples in 1 John 14:16. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells and will be in you. See, there is no doubt about what that scripture is saying. It's the promise of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, all capital letters, H for him. But the anointing is not a person. We all good so far? You still with me? Good. The anointing is a power given by God through the Holy Spirit, which enables people to do way beyond their own abilities by releasing the full potential of the gifts of the Holy Spirit has deposited within each of us. Now, I'm going to read that again. I'm going to personalize a little more. It says, the anointing is the power given by God through the Holy Spirit, which enables you to do way beyond your own abilities by releasing the full potential of the gifts of the Holy Spirit has deposited within you. See, many references in the Bible, and this is where it becomes a little unclear, many references in the Bible talk about the anointing or God's power or the Holy Spirit as a little interchangeable. And it is, and that's okay. It's a little interchangeable. But we need to remember that the anointing is God's power for you to do God's will. And often when you're talking about the anointing, there's several problems involved. One is this, that our primary means of teaching spiritual things is using words to try to help people engage with things that words are not able to convey. See, I'm going to be talking about some things this morning that are beyond my understanding and beyond my ability to communicate, particularly with words. Amen? But they have been part of my experience with God. It's just very challenging to articulate those things. And one thing we need to be very careful of when talking about the anointing is this, is don't get stuck in the past. Now, I might say the word anointing, and your mind might immediately go back to 1992 or the 80s. And you might go, okay, anointing, I understand what that guy's talking about. Yeah, I've got this. Well, you know what? God wants to do something new. You know, that's called word blindness. That happens when we talk about things that are familiar, but God wants to do something new in anointing. He wants to do something new in you every day. So don't get stuck on your own past understanding of anointing. Allow God to do something new in your spirit this morning. Amen? Okay. So have a brief look at the anointing on us. And, you know, the Old Testament is full of examples and types which give us an understanding of the New Testament. And it's often, this statement is often made. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Do I need to say that again? We all good? In the Old Testament, the priest would anoint people for service. Now, a really good example of this, and an example which I really love, is the anointing of David as a boy to be king. Now, Saul was king, and he had just messed up big time, and God was sort of like not happy with Saul as king. And God said to the prophet Samuel, he said, take the anointing oil, and I'm going to show you who I want you to anoint as king. So he went to the house of Jesse, and you know the story. You know, he showed all the sons, and he, no, not this one, not this one, not this one. Jesse, have you got any other sons? He says. And Jesse said, well, I've just got one more young boy who's out there looking after the sheep. So they bring him in. And 1 Samuel 16 says this. So they sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day. Now, this is a boy. You can tell by the way he's described. We're not talking about a man who's, you know, 6 foot tall and full of muscles. And this is a boy. And in the very next chapter, we see this young boy taking on a giant, defeating the giant and delivering a nation. Now, what caused him to be able to do that? The anointing. The anointing, the Holy Spirit came upon him. And with the coming of the Holy Spirit came the endowment of power through the anointing of God that caused him to be able to rise to deliver his people. This is significant. In the Old Testament, the anointing oil would be poured over the person's head by the priest. Like, let's think about this morning, like a jug. You imagine a glass jug, you fill that up with oil, and a priest would take the jug and he would pour it over the head of the person that he was anointing. That, can you imagine that? Can you imagine what that would be like? Like, the oil would be running down your hair and in your ears and over your clothes and dripping off your shoes. And I imagine, you know, when David got anointed to be king, he would have had to walk back to tend the sheep in his sandals, covered in oil, and there'd be dust and mud. And realistically, it's quite a challenging thing, isn't it? You know, you pour a jug of oil over somebody's head, I tell you what, it'll take you a day or two to get that out of your hair. Especially if you didn't have a hot shower and good soap like we do these days. You'd be stuck with this stuff for days. Well, that's the point. In the New Testament, the anointing comes with the filling of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 10, verse 3, it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we see that in Jesus' ministry. Is it seems like, if you look at Jesus' ministry, it's like he always had what was required for the moment. Would that be correct? You know, it doesn't matter what was going on. Jesus always seemed to have an anointing or a power equivalent to what needed to be carried out. And there's a very good example of this, and I'll just give you the background. This father, this absolutely devastated, tormented father, brings his son to the disciples who is tormented by an evil spirit. It says in my Bible, it says a deaf spirit, I think. No, a mute spirit, it says. So this is deliverance that was needing to be taken place, right? So the disciples tried but could not deliver this boy. So there was a deficit in the anointing that was required to fulfill the task at hand. Then Jesus comes along, and this is what it says in Luke 9. Then one of the crowd, or the father, answered and said, "Teacher," to Jesus, "I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed around, foaming at the mouth. So immediately that the spirit in the boy saw Jesus, the anointing was adequate for the deliverance to take place. Jesus had upon him what he needed to fulfill the task at hand. Then afterwards, the disciples, being quite embarrassed by this, I would imagine, said to Jesus, well, you know, in Mark 9 it says, so he said to them, you know, why couldn't we cast them out? So Jesus said, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So he's saying there was some preparation involved. Now, where was Jesus while the disciples were trying to cast out this demon? Where was he? Now, I don't know, but there is a chance that he was up on a mountain somewhere praying. Maybe he was fasting. But we do know that it was Jesus' manner of life to wake early in the morning, to go up onto a mountain and to pray. And when he came down from that mountain, he had the anointing that was required for every task at hand. You seeing the picture here? This is very good news for us. And it's very good news for the disciples. You know why? Because Jesus didn't go, whoa, stand back, guys. This is my job. I'm here to do this. He rebuked them for their lack of faith to be able to perform what he performed. He rebuked them that they didn't have the anointing upon them to be able to fulfill the task. Jesus didn't say, oh, no, you'll never be able to do these ones. This is my job. He just rebuked them for their lack. You know, Jesus is an example. Jesus on earth was an example of what you and I can be, with the anointing of God flowing through us in the way that God desires it to be flowing through us. You see, Philippians 2, 7 to 8 says, but he made himself of no reputation. This is talking about Jesus. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. So the only difference between you and I and Jesus was the fact that he was anointed by the Holy Spirit and empowered by God for the purpose at hand. 1 John 4:17 says, because as he is, so are we in this world. Not only Jesus, so are we in this world. Second Corinthians 1 says, now he who established us, this is Paul talking to the church, so this is you. You ready? Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us in God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our heart as a guarantee. He's given us his Spirit and he has anointed us for the task at hand. So this is for you and me. But the anointing is one of those mysterious things in the kingdom of God that many of us talk about, but often we don't quite understand what it is. And I don't think that any one of us will really fully understand the anointing until the day that we go to be with him. But you know what? God allows us to learn it through life. You know, those of you in the room, like Pastor Tan, Pastor Aaron, and people who have spent a lifetime of developing the anointing upon their life through ministry, that learn keys to how the anointing works. And I'm sure that there's many of you in the room who have spent your whole life learning how the anointing works through you. And this is something we need to stop and think about and know exactly how this works. You see, the anointing is a tangible spiritual force. It's tangible. You can feel it. Now, Dr. Phil Pringle, who wrote a great book called The Anointing, says this. He calls it stuff. He says, the anointing is stuff because it gets on you. I like to think of the anointing of the residue of the Holy Spirit. The residue of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine when the priest comes to you and pours oil all over your head, for several days you're going to be experiencing the residue. The fact that you've had this oil poured all over you is going to stay on you. You know, it's interesting that in the New Testament we see an account of Jesus walking through a crowd, right? Now, he didn't know, but a woman came up behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Now, she was totally healed at that point. But it says that Jesus experienced power going out of him. Now, it wasn't the Holy Spirit leaving him. It was the anointing flowing out of him, which healed that woman right on the spot. He had what was required to fulfill that task. It was already on him. He didn't have to pray for her. He didn't have to work it up. It was just there. Isn't that miraculous? It's like she touched his garment and the oil that she received on herself healed her right then, right there, right in that spot. I love the accounts of Paul. In Acts 19:11, it says this. It says, now God worked unusual miracles through the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Wow! Consider that. That the anointing, the tangible stuff, the actual residue of the Holy Spirit was placed upon a material item. And that residue, that anointing was taken to another person and it had exactly what it needed. It had the power to fulfill the task. That is amazing, right? Well, that anointing lives upon us. You know, I had an experience once where I was prayed for by a very anointed man of God. I crashed to the ground by no doing of myself, and I couldn't get up. I just could not get up. And after several hours of being there, I got up. But I could feel this sensation in my it was a physical sensation in my body that lasted for days. The next morning I woke up, I could still feel that physical sensation. The next morning it was a little bit less, but it was still there. And it continued for 2 or 3 days and gradually wore off. Now what was that? That was the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's tangible. It gets on you. Do you know, and the anointing comes to empower the gifts that are on your life, right? Now, we were in South Africa as missionaries for a while, or for a number of years. And when I was over there, I was involved in leading worship, because worship is my background. That's sort of where we came from. And I'd only been a Christian a couple of years. But I remember the pastor said to me once, and I did not understand this at the time. He's only been a Christian a couple of years. And he said to me, whenever you lead worship, I've noticed that people get saved. He said, that's the evangelistic call upon your life that God is releasing through worship. Now, that's just because the anointing was there and the gifting that was upon my life was ministering via the anointing. Does that make sense? You know, the anointing is a powerful thing. You know, it's not always easy to know when the anointing is upon you, but let me tell you, it's very easy to know when it isn't. I've stood up to lead worship on a couple of occasions and gone, I am so sorry, God, that I've just got nothing here. It's just me. And I've preached messages on occasions where I've gone, God, I needed more in preparation involved because I did not have the anointing to release what I needed to release. Do you understand? You know, why was oil used as a symbol when it comes to the anointing? Because oil has certain characteristics. Firstly, oil lubricates, right? It prevents friction when two elements come in contact with each other. It allows parts working together to work together without heat or damage. It stops the squeaks and the growls. Do you hear what I'm talking about here this morning? In church life, the anointing is essential for us to operate together in oneness, in unity, and have some function that works. Because the anointing, the oil lubricates and allows things to flow. Secondly, oil burns. Now, did you know, and I didn't know this before I researched this, that the life of a wick is 100 times greater when it is immersed in oil. If you burn a wick without oil, it'll last 1/100th the time as it will if you burn it with oil. Sometimes we wonder why we burn out in church life. Because we don't carry the anointing we need for the task at hand. And I've experienced that. I know what it's like to run out. And when you're required and there's expectations and demands and you've run out, then that's when burnout takes place. Isaiah 40 verse 30 says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up, mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Now that's only physically possible when we wait on the Lord, because when we wait on the Lord, His Holy Spirit comes and releases His anointing for the power for service. We will burn out if we don't carry the anointing. And without oil burning, there is no power. Remember, Jesus said to His disciples, "Wait, don't go anywhere, don't do anything, you're not ready. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come." And from that time forward, they were anointed for purpose. Also, oil moisturizes. Okay, you put oil on old leather and it can become supple again. You put oil on your skin and it will be smooth. You notice how many believers become dry in their spirit? And people that become dry in their spirit end up with a brittle spirit. They become sensitive and easy to hurt. We need to stay supple with the anointing of the Spirit upon us. Also, oil enhances flavor. When we're anointed, our personality becomes clear and unique and enhanced. See, God has given each one of us unique personalities so that we can fulfill what he has called us to fulfill. And the anointing upon you will add to that, will enhance that, will bring life to that. You know, I find that we can really be ourselves in the anointing. And it enhances who we are with less inhibitions. You know, it's easy for people to become dull and unattractive and colorless if they're void of anointing. So how do we develop the anointing in us? I'll just skip this briefly. Firstly, obviously, with intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Time spent in his presence. You see, if the anointing is the residue or what's left from an encounter with the Holy Spirit, then we need to be encountering the Holy Spirit. Jesus would go up on the mountain. You know, I can guarantee that Rajiv this morning, he didn't roll out of bed at 9 o'clock, put on his clothes and rock up here with his guitar and expect to lead you in an anointing without some preparation. He needed to spend some time in the Holy Spirit because you cannot release what's not upon you. And you can't fake the anointing, believe me. Last weekend, I was driving to church and it was 9 o'clock in the morning and we were going to a service. It was like a prayer service where we'd lay hands on the whole church. So we had been asked to go along to pray for people in the church and all our campuses were doing the same thing. So it was quite a big service for our church. And it was 9 o'clock in the morning. The service starts at 10 and I got a phone call from the associate pastor who organizes all the speakers. Now she said to me, "Look, would you mind going to our Kwinana campus and preaching on this topic this morning? Because someone is sick. Can you go there now?" 9 o'clock. Now, look, if I had rolled out of bed at 8:30 and put on my clothes and gone off to church for our special service, there's no way I would be able to do that. So we turned around. We went to Kwinana campus. We preached a message and that... that from all the feedback that was great, and you know the only way you can do that is the fact that I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and prayed into this service and asked God for his anointing to come. You're getting this? We need the anointing upon us to be able to minister in any way, shape, and form. We need to pursue the person though, not the outcome. Okay, it's not about, "Oh God, I'm going to pursue the anointing." You know, I know of a guy who did that. And what he did is he hired a unit or a cabin up in the woods. This is in America. And he hired a cabin in the wood. And what he decided to do is he told his family, he said, "I'm going up to be with God and I'm not coming back until I have the anointing to heal the sick, to raise the dead, cleanse lepers. I'm not coming back." And you know, he spent months and months and months. All he did all day was pray in the Spirit and pursue God and pursue the Holy Spirit. Well, you cannot manipulate God. You know what God told him at the end of months? "Go back, live your normal life. I want to work with you in your normal life. I don't want you up here to become some guru or some famous person because of the gifts I've put upon your life. I want you to go back and be normal." See, this is all of our role. This isn't just your pastor's roles. This is every one of our roles to carry that anointing to minister in the way that we've been called to minister. Secondly, prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is a big key. How did Jesus tell his disciples that they could get the breakthrough to perform that deliverance? Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is a big key. Isaiah 58 says, "Is it not the fast that I have chosen to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke Not just some yokes, every yoke. We need to be good fasters. We need to be good prayers. And praying in tongues. You know, the thing I love about praying in tongues is you're praying the perfect will of God. It's the Spirit who's praying through you. So you're praying the perfect will of God. It's an amazing tool. Why aren't we doing that nonstop? This is an opportunity to be able to connect ourselves with God. If I feel that I have an anointing deficit upon my life, I know I pray in the Spirit and I just try and enter into God's presence, and the presence of the Holy Spirit upon me is where that anointing comes. Thirdly, thanksgiving. Psalm 100 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So if you want to enter the presence and sit under the Holy Spirit, then start with praise, start with thanks, be thankful. Know your doorways. I'm moving quickly because I've run out of time. Know your own doorways. My doorway is worship. If I want the Holy Spirit, if I want to experience the Holy Spirit and spend time in his presence, then worship is my doorway. Understand what yours is. We each have different doorways. I found that if I developed my doorways in the Spirit, that I could play my guitar and I could worship and the anointing would come and I could sense the anointing coming, then I could go out and I could lead worship in a home group with 10 people and that same anointing would come. Or I could go into a gathering of 500 people and lead worship and that same anointing would come. You see what I mean? I'm leading people through the doorway of anointing that I have established in my own life. But we need to establish those doorways to the anointing. We need to, fourth, we need to pull away. Make sure we have time in our lives. Refueling is important. Jesus needed to refuel. Go on the mountain, come back. And in the morning, he would have what he needs. Sometimes he'd go overnight. But just do this as part of your life. See, I'd just like the band to join me, please. Every one of us here, and I'm not looking past you, I'm looking at every person in this room, has a gift upon their life from the Holy Spirit that God wants to use to minister to your community. Every one of you has a role to play. It doesn't matter whether you're 10 years old or whether you're 110 years old, you have a role to fulfill. And without the anointing of God upon your life, there will be a deficit. You will not be able to fulfill the task at hand. So the anointing is vitally important that we all learn how to develop this upon our lives. And what you'll find is things that were hard for you suddenly become a bit easier. And the words that you didn't have to say would suddenly be there. You'll find that you'll pray for people and people will be healed and you'll be as shocked as they are. The anointing will come upon you. If you spend time in his Spirit, that's what he wants this morning. See, this isn't about church ministry. This is about every day. This is about ministry to the lost. This is about ministry out there. And you know what I've found is the anointing of the Spirit is incredibly addictive. I love spending time in the Holy Spirit's presence. And what is the residue from that works in my life powerfully. This is the key to Jesus' ministry of power. It's time spent in the Holy Spirit and developing anointing ready for what you've been called to release, every one of you. The anointing will fill you with joy. It'll help our minds to understand. It'll inspire our spirits. I'd just like you to close your eyes just for a moment. I'd like to read a scripture that was put in the Bible for one reason. to speak to you. So this is yours this morning. You ready? For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Jesus, I just thank you this morning that every person in this room has been prepared for good works. So because that's your will, Lord, I have no doubt that you will anoint them for that purpose. Lord, that as we pursue you, as we lean into the Holy Spirit, your wonderful Holy Spirit, that you will anoint us for every purpose that we're called to perform. Thank you, Lord, for your power that's available to each one of us. If you're in this room this morning and maybe watching online, and you've never connected yourself to Jesus Christ, well, here's the source. Here's the source of all our life, all our hope. If you've never connected yourself in relationship to Jesus this morning, I would like to give you the opportunity to do that now. Now, this is very simple. It's more simple than what maybe what you'd imagine, but all you need to do is pray a simple prayer that you mean right from your heart. And he's going to come into your life and he's going to change some things and he's going to rearrange you. He's going to love you. He's going to care for you. And he's going to lead you into an eternity with him. If that's you this morning, if you would like me to pray with you, just give me a wave this morning. Is there anyone here who would like to accept Jesus as their Lord and their friend? Walk with the Holy Spirit in the way that I've spoken this morning. If that's you this morning, just give me a wave. Just so we don't miss anyone this morning, I'd like us all to pray this prayer together. So that if you're online or maybe you've been too shy to put your hand up, just pray this prayer and believe it in your heart and God will respond to your prayer. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning that you have given me the gift of relationship with you. I receive that gift this morning and I thank you for it. I ask that you forgive me for my past. And today I choose to walk away from everything that connects me to my past. Today I place my hand in your hand and ask that you lead me into life with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, let's give all those people a round of applause. Come on. It's the best decision you're ever going to make. And just as we close, what I'd invite you to do is we've got a couple of pastors and some anointing oil here. We're not going to pour it over your head, I promise. It's going to anoint you with oil as a symbol of the anointing of the Holy Spirit coming upon you for service. And if you would like that this morning, I encourage you to come. Come to the front and we're going to lay hands on everybody here this morning and anoint you with oil for the operation of what God's called you to do. We're not going to play lengthy prayers. We're just going to anoint you. It's not going to take forever. So come and let us lay hands for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thanks, Roger.
all my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I